Kunjabihari Gopi Jana Balava Jivara Dhari Gopi Jana Balava Jivara Dhari Jashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanacharya Tira Vanacharya Vijaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Nitya Gora Hari Bol Hari Bol Hari Bol Nitya Gora Acharya Sotara Sata Sisimat, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki, Krenzi Kohosi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Sugasa Devora Bhakta Vrinda Ki, Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhanki, Ganga Maiki, Jamuna Maiki, Tulasi Devi Maharani Ki, Gaura Premanandi, all glories to the Sama devotees, all glories to the Sama devotees, all glories to the Sama devotees, all glories to the lotus feet of Sisi Guru and Gauranga. All glories to the Sama Prabhupada Ki, Jai. Good morning, everyone. We are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, part 1, text 17. Yascha mahattamo loke. Yascha budhe paramgataha. Tatu bau sukam edete. Sukam edete klishyati antarito jannah jascha madattamo loke jascha budhe param gatah Tatu Vasu Kamedete. Is Jati Antarito Janaha. Please read up for me. Yaha.
Yaha.
One who is.
One who is.
Cha.
Also.
Muda.
Muda.
I'm sorry. Muda tamaha.
Muda tamaha.
The lowest of the fools.
The lowest of the fools.
Loke.
In the world.
Jacha.
Jacha.
And one who is.
And one who is.
Budehe.
Budehe.
Of intelligence.
Param
transcendental.
Gataha,
gone.
Tao,
of them.
Ubao,
both.
Sukam,
happiness.
Edete,
enjoy.
Krishyati,
suffer.
Antaritaha,
situated between. Yanaha, persons. Translation by His Divine Grace. Both the lowest of fools, repeat after me,
both the lowest of fools
and he who is transcendental to all intelligence
enjoy happiness.
Whereas persons
between them
suffer the material pains.
Suffer the material pains.
Purport by His Divine Grace, Prabhupada. The lowest are fools, do not understand material miseries. They pass their lives merrily and do not inquire into the miseries of life. Such persons are almost on the levels of the animals, who, although in the eyes of superiors are always miserable in life, are unaware of material distresses. A pig's life, a hog's life, is degraded in its standard of happiness, which entails living in a filthy place, engaging in sex enjoyment at every opportune moment, and laboring hard in a struggle for existence. But this is unknown to the hog. Similarly, human beings who are unaware of the miseries of material existence and are happy in sex life and hard labor are the lowest of fools. Yet, because they have no sense of miseries, they supposedly enjoy so-called happiness. The other class of men, those who are liberated and are situated in the transcendental position above intelligence, are really happy and are called paramahamsas. But persons who are neither like hogs and dogs nor on the level of the paramahamsas feel the material pangs, and for them inquiry about the supreme truth is necessary. The Vedanta Sutra states, Atato Brahma Jnanasa. Now one should inquire about Brahman. This inquiry is necessary for those who are between the paramahamsas and the fools who have forgotten the question of self-realization in the midst of life in sense gratification. Om Ajnata Mirandasya Jnanam Jnana Shalakaya Shakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, before I recite, we continue. Let's recite the prayer. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. All right, well, thank you very much for all of you coming this morning to the temple. I'd like to thank also the pujaris who dress the deity. So beautiful today, so beautiful. It's just such a pleasure to see these deities. And I really thank also Nagaraj Prabhu for that wonderful kirtan. It was really arousing kirtan, very, very nice, wonderful. Really appreciate that. And I appreciate all of the devotees for being here today and chanting the holy names. So, basically, I brought several books here. I do a lot of work with computers, so I'm not too much into the database, into the actual books, paper books, and I like to read them. For me, these books are like deities, kind of. So I really respect them very much, but sometimes they become a little cumbersome, but I'll try to do my best to bring up some of the points here. So, basically, in this verse, which I'm going to repeat again, both the lowest of fools, the mudas, the mudakamaha, the lowest of the fools, and he who is transcendental to all intelligence enjoy happiness, whereas persons between them suffer the material pangs. Now, this verse is a very, very, actually very important verse in one sense, because it's describing the two kinds of humans in society. We have the mudatamaha, the fools, the lowest of the fools, basically, and the divine persons or paramahamsas. Then we'll talk a little bit about that from the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the divine and demonic nature. But also I wanted to mention that This is a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's also the counterpart, or is related to the verse that was read last Saturday here from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyam Lila, chapter 22. This is Madhyam, chapter 5, 22, text 11. Those who are eternally liberated are always awake to Krishna consciousness, and they render transcendental loving service at the feet of Lord Krishna. They are to be considered eternal associates of Krishna, and they are eternally enjoying the transcendental bliss of serving Krishna. So that would be the divine nature, the devotees that are what Srila Prabhupada is saying here, the Paramahamsas. Chapter 16, The Divine and Demonic Natures, Srila Prabhupada is saying as well, texts 1 through 3, the Blessed Lord said, fearlessness, purification of one's existence, cultivation of the spiritual knowledge, charity, self-control, performance of sacrifices, study of the Vedas, austerity and simplicity, non-violence, truthfulness, freedom from anger, renunciation, tranquility, aversion to faith, to fault-finding, compassion and freedom from covetousness, gentleness, modesty and steady determination, vigor, forgiveness, fortitude, cleanliness, freedom from envy and the passion for honor. These transcendental qualities, O son of Bharata, belong to godly men endowed with divine nature. So that would be the Paramahamsas. And on the other side, we have the demoniac, who in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, those who are demoniac do not know what is to be done and what is not to be done. Neither cleanliness nor proper behavior or truth is found in them. They say that this world is unreal, that there is no foundation, and that there is no God in control. It is produced of sex desire and has no cause other than lust. So that would be the demoniac nature. Also, but actually, Prabhupada defined the characteristic of the mudas, the muda kamaha, even better on 9/11 when he says, really, truly speaking, one who is a person that has a demoniac nature is someone that does not accept that Krishna can come to this world in his human form. While the devotees accept that Krishna can come to this material world and he appears in his God. But the demons, they don't accept that. And in between the verses, there are persons that suffer the material pangs. In other words, that they realize that there is a God, that there is a Supreme Personality of Godhead. But they are caught in this in-between where they realize that there is a God and that they are a spirit soul, but they are suffering the miseries of the material world. No matter what, let's face it, this mature world is a very dangerous place to be. Very dangerous, very dangerous. You know, I mean, and although we see the danger at every moment, we see our friends and relatives suffering or passing away, we still think that this is not going to happen to us. No, it's not going to happen to me. Oh, I'll continue living forever. I'll be here for the next 20 years, 10 years, 5 years. I was without talking too much about this, because actually making me very sad. I was with Thamohar Prabhu just a few days ago. We were talking, we were having lunch together. And 2 days later, you know, he has an accident, a car accident, and four of his ribs were broken. Just like that. I couldn't believe it. Oh my God. It's like I was just talking with him. So, you know, you never know when things can happen. In other words, there are these mysteries that come because either by the demigods, hurricanes or volcanoes or, you know, other. There are the pains and miseries created by other living entities, like mosquitoes or snakes. And then there is the miseries that are created by our own bodies. And, you know, we think that this is not going to happen to us. But, you know, at some point, I never thought that I would be able to go through some very serious health issues and circumstances, life-threatening. I mean, I was always a very strong person. I could travel all over the world. I mean, I did travel all over the world. I did all kinds of things. I did all kinds of Sankirtan, Lakshmi Sankirtan collection. And, I mean, I used to live in a van. I mean, I used to live in a van packed with candles, paraffin, wax candles that I had made the day before, and I would go out, I would go drive all the way to Miami and sell those candles, and I was happy doing that for years and years, and I've done all kinds of things. And then all of a sudden, boom, you know, you have some situation where you have to take care of yourself, and you realize that there are some things that are not really under your control. So those are what Srila Prabhupada, well, what the Bhagavatam is saying here, the pangs, the material pangs that they come. Those are the miseries. So, this is a very important verse. In fact, it is mirrored, as we said, in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because it is one of the goals of whatever Srila Prabhupada brought here to the West and his mission, building the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. What is one of the main goals? Of course, the glorification of the Supreme Lord is the main goal, but it goes together with the other very important goal, which is, it goes together, glorification of God and saving the, basically the demons or the people that don't have consciousness of Krishna consciousness, bring them out to the stage of Paramahamsa so that they can be saved from this material world, wake them up, so to speak, jiv jago, just wake up to understand that, hey, this life is very temporary, we're not going to be here very long, and there is a God who has created this material creation. So, Krishna has changed the tables. In other words, that a lot of the things that he said in the Bhagavad Gita, he has changed them. He has changed things. How did that happen? How? Because he came 500 years ago as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the whole world has changed. We have, as the story goes, and I think the devotees are they always have this play all about Jagai and Madai, how they were saved from their situation by the interception of Nityananda Prabhu. So, we see that even demons like Jagai and Madai were saved. What to speak of the people that Srila Prabhupada came to save here in America? Let's face it, speaking for myself, my life is nothing to be proud of. If I look back at what I did when I was 20 or 25 or 17 or 18, it's like, whoa. You know, I did these things and they are not very, I cannot be proud of those things. I should have done better. I should have known better. But that was one of those people, and I'm just one of the middle, you know, demons. I was one of the demons, but not too demonic. I've seen other people that did even worse things that I used to do, and I met them, and they became devotees too. It's like, wow, people that were Jagai and Madais like myself, now we are chanting Hare Krishna, and we are following certain principles. How did that happen? How did we get here? Well, because Srila Prabhupada brought a system that's what is creating, was creating, and is creating a system by which people can be changed from this demoniac mentality nature that, yes, we are in control of things, we want to be like God, we can control things too, we can create things, to a system where we understand we actually are servants of the servant of the servant. And the main principle that changed the world, as I say, that changed basically the literature, is where Krishna says, well, the demons will never, you know, become paramahamsas, they're all eternally condemned to be like that. Well, it has changed. Krishna decided to change by coming to this planet about 500 years ago, and by the fact that with him were his associates, specifically Lord Nityananda. Because Lord Nityananda, who is he? He is the, as far as I have realized, is the incarnation of mercy. Mercy is pure mercy. Lord Nityananda is just mercy personified. It's unbelievable. Because when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that Nityananda Prabhu had been hurt by Jagai and Madai and he was bleeding, he was about to kill them. He called his Sudarshan Chakra. But what did Nityananda Prabhu said? No, no, my Lord, this is not what you're supposed to do in this day and age. In the Kali Yuga, you're supposed to save people by your mercy. Please, please, don't kill Jagai and Madai. Please give them your mercy so they become devotees. And the Jagai and Madai became devotees. So now, if you want to see or picture in your mind an image of that mercy, if you want to actually picture that image, the other day we were watching a movie in the evening after our arti at home with my wife. And in this movie there was this lady named Sally Agarwal. I don't know if you have seen this movie, Your Ever Well Wisher, made by Yadubar. And Sally Agarwal was saying that when Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada was in her house and he laughed, his laughter was oceanic. That is the description of Srila Prabhupada's laughter. And that is the description of mercy. The description of Lord Nityananda's mercy is that it's oceanic. It is actually the laughter of Srila Prabhupada. If you look at any photo of Prabhupada smiling or laughing, that is his mercy. That is the mercy actually of Lord Nityananda, because Srila Prabhupada is the representative of Lord Nityananda, who is the spiritual master. So the spiritual master is very, very crucial and very important to bring these souls that are suffering the pangs, the material pangs, and bring them to the stage of Paramahamsa. And Prabhupada says over and over, we have been reading this in the Bhagavatam, in many other classes, he said that the most important thing is that acceptance of a spiritual master or someone that you can follow that can give you the guidelines by which you can live your life properly. And in fact, I was just listening to a class yesterday on Zoom. I'm I'm in part of several group classes out there online, and I listen to a lot of them every day. And yesterday, Abhiram Prabhu, he is in Vrindavan, lives in Vrindavan now, and he was giving a class on Zoom, and he was saying that Prabhupada said, not he said, that Prabhupada said, and he was just paraphrasing Prabhupada, that the most important verse in the Bhagavad Gita is 4:34. You know, chapter 4, text 34 of the Bhagavad Gita. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Now, when I heard that from Abhiram Prabhu, I said, wow, that's very interesting. That actually something to consider that is true. Because for years I've always thought that the most important verse of the Bhagavad Gita was that 1868, Manmanabhaban, Mat Bhakto. But then I thought, no, this is the most important verse, because how are you going to think of Krishna always unless you accept the spiritual master, render service unto him, and please the spiritual master by your service? This is the most important thing, is to actually find a spiritual master, render service unto him. And, of course, then the question is, well, who is the spiritual master and how do we find one? Or basically, he who brings you Krishna consciousness or brings you to the level of Krishna consciousness, that is your spiritual master. Now, that point, and I'll just bring this up, I think I mentioned it before, but it is very, very important, because that was a very important discussion that I had personally with one of the greatest teachers that I ever met, ever, which was Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj. And I went to him because I had this experience, actually, with a laughing photo of Srila Prabhupada that was hovering on his beach, and he was laughing. And I had this experience with that connection with Srila Prabhupada, what I thought that I had, you know, that he was pretty much speaking to me in his spirit. So the next day, in other words, if you have a realization or an intuition or an image of previous acharyas like Srila Prabhupada or Bhaktivinoda Thakur or Bhaktisiddhanta, those may be real experiences, but it is good to bring it up in confidence to other devotees, especially senior devotees. And in this case, when I had that experience, I said, well, I gotta speak right as soon as I can to my GBC, which was Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, and he was a very good friend of mine. I said, I'm gonna have to tell him this. I'm gonna have to tell him that the rhythmic position is correct. Yeah, you can connect with Prabhupada. So I went to see him and said, you know, the rhythmics are right. You can connect with Srila Prabhupada through his books and through meditation. And Bhaktivedanta Swami, he was very merciful. He said, yes, you have had an experience with Srila Prabhupada. You're my god brother. He embraced me. He was very, very humble. Very humble. I was shocked. But he said, but you know, in our sampradaya, in our system that Prabhupada set up for us here, you need to find a spiritual master that is in personal form, that is in front of you, that can bring you up to Krishna consciousness. That's how most devotees, most people are going to be liberated from the material pangs. They are going to be liberated by a person that is going to bring you to Krishna consciousness, and he has that responsibility. And Prabhupada said that also on the fourth of the chapters, of the fourth main slokas of the Bhagavatam. If you read the purport, which I think is 4938, Prabhupada is saying that the spiritual master has to be a living person, a living guru that is going to bring you up to Krishna. So when I was giving a class here on that verse, I don't know, several months ago, and Soma Prabhu was sitting in the audience there, and then during the questions and answers, he said, yes, Srila Prabhupada said that the guru, the spiritual teacher, has to be a living person. And then a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, well, why? Couldn't we just read your books? Couldn't we just meditate on what you have said? And Prabhupada said, he got up from his seat, went to the devotee and twisted his ear. And he said, because the book cannot do that, he cannot do this. He cannot twist your ear. What does that mean? It means that the spiritual teacher has to take care of the devotee to bring him up to Krishna consciousness. And sometimes he has to twist your ear. Because sometimes you may do things that are not following the principles of Krishna consciousness. And someone has to remind you of that. Like recently, take it like mercy, that if somebody does that to you, someone comes and twists your ear, that's mercy. You know, like the other day, I was just at home and I was not feeling very well physically, health-wise. I just had some prescription drug that I had to take, and I was like, whoa. And Narahari Prabhu from Hawaii called me and said, hey, Mahesh, how are you doing? How's it going? So I was answering to him, and then he said, and how are you chanting your rounds? And I was like taken back, and he was like, I always chant my rounds. Of course, it could be in a situation where I may not chant my rounds, or I may be in a situation where my rounds may not be of good quality. But this devotee was very merciful. He says, are you chanting your rounds, and what is the quality of your chanting? So in the beginning, I was taken back, like, why is Narahari going to tell me here? Why? But then I thought, well, he loves me. He loves me. He's concerned about me. He's trying to find out how I'm doing in my spiritual life. So because, now, you know, there are devotees, you know, when there is a loving relationship that they take care of other devotees, it's called devotee care. And devotee care, in a sense, has to do as well with the spiritual quality of your life. So, one thing is that Srila Prabhupada was one of his goals, and perhaps, as I say, one of the main goals of his preaching, was to bring the devotee, the persons, includes the demons also, because, I mean, I've met a lot of people that were mafioso, basically. And they became devotees. I mean, he really, really went down to the Lower East Side in New York City, and he preached to really, really low people and brought them up to Krishna consciousness. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And so by his mercy, he was trying to bring people up to this level of the Paramahamsa stage. And one of the main goals is to establish the institution of Varnashram Dharma. In other words, an institution where the people can live according to their varna, their propensity in life, and also according to their ashram, and to create a system by which people can go from one ashram to the next so that they can, at the end of life, find that Paramahamsa stage so they can become Paramahamsas themselves. So you start with the Brahmachari stage, which is the student or the stage where you learn about the principles of Vedic philosophy and the teachings. But then, in general, as we have seen in our movement and as we have seen historically, most brahmacharis will move into the grihastha ashram. A few, very few, will move up to the sannyasa stage. But that is rare. Usually it's going to go through the Grihastha ashram. And the Grihastha ashram actually is a very important ashram because many devotees can learn about other rasas that are easier to learn in this case, like the Vatsalya ras, how to take care of children, how to raise children, how to develop a loving relationship with children, and also have a wife and maintain that relationship with a wife, and so on. So that's the Grihastha stage. And as life progresses and the children move away into their own life, going to college or getting married and so on, And as you grow older, you naturally move into the next stage, which is the Vanaprastha stage, in which husband and wife, they see each other as brother and sister, as friends. So there is no, you know, the once you get to be in your 60s, it's like sense gratification takes a secondary, it just disappears, kind of. Because if you follow a grihastha stage properly, and you keep chanting Hare Krishna, and you develop a relationship with devotees, and you have an association with the spiritual teacher, what happens is that these desires for sense gratification, they just go away, they just disappear. That's what happens. Chanting Hare Krishna, associating with devotees, coming to the temple, visiting the deities, taking prasadam, preaching, naturally get you to that stage where you understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and as you grow older, that you become, you start thinking more and more of Krishna. So in ISKCON, several years ago, about 20 years ago, they developed a Grihastha handbook, and actually they are trying to develop the Grihastha ashram, to maintain it, and to create a strong Grihastha community, so that this follow this process. Most people will go into the Grihastha stage and then the Vanaprastha stage, and then some people may be chosen to take sannyas. But to take sannyas or to become a preacher of Krishna consciousness is not something that you yourself can say, oh, I'm going to become a sannyas and I'm going to go and preach. But no, no. It is Krishna basically is going to choose you to do that particular service. But truly speaking, most people in general, they are going to go through this stage to get to the Vanaprastha stage. Once you get to the Vanaprastha stage, that's very important because you'll still be doing preaching work. You'll still be in the householder life, but this is the Vanaprastha stage where you have given up sense gratification, so to speak. And then you are just doing devotional service directly for Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. No, but some people, as I say, may be chosen for whatever reason that Krishna has and the spiritual master to take sannyas, and then they'll move into the preaching stage as sannyasins. So in the Grihastha handbook, basically that was developed about 20 years ago. It's part of the devotee care group or institution that ISKCON is trying to establish in different temples. We have one that is developing here in the new Raman Reddy temple as well. And so you may want to talk to some of the devotees to get more information about devotee care and the Grihastha vision team so that we can help the Grihastras to go through this banks of material existence, so to speak, because it is very difficult. To raise a family is a very difficult situation, you know, and there is danger at every step. So we got to help our Grihastha so that they can get to the next stage, which is the Vanaprastha stage, and become Paramahamsas themselves. Almost the time is done, but I was supposed to speak for a couple of minutes about the appearance day today of a wonderful devotee. His name was Abhiram. He was a friend, a very close friend with Nityananda Prabhu. He preached in Bengal. And he was a fearsome type of personality. And he got into many arguments with the atheists. He really didn't like atheists, and he got into a lot of arguments with them. Now, imagine if you were living in India 500 years ago, there were all kinds of philosophies that were in existence. So the devotees, they had a very hard time trying to get the people, you know, to come into Krishna consciousness. But by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda and all of these wonderful devotees that join the movement, the Krishna consciousness movement has flourished. And they have, and we have the results of what we have today, which is the appearance and of Srila Prabhupada and bringing us this wonderful Krishna consciousness. So, as I say, Krishna changed the table sometimes. Change things. And when you think everything is lost, I mean, look at where we were back in the 60s here in America or in the world. We were living through a Cold War. I mean, that was serious. I mean, you had these countries with atomic weapons about to destroy the world with these horrible weapons. And then Srila Prabhupada came in the middle of everything in 1965 and brought a different consciousness, Krishna consciousness, to the West and changed the tables. And those who were demons, now they are chanting Hare Krishna. So, who knows? Krishna has a plan. We just need to surrender to it. Understand that our life is finite, it's temporary. But Prabhupada also said, no, our human life in this body, in this material body, is temporary. But Prabhupada said, life is actually eternal. We cannot die, because our superior nature as a spirit soul will go on lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. So maybe we'll conclude here. Some people asked me if I was going to bring my flute today. Sorry I didn't bring it and play for you guys. Next time I will, but the verse required that I spoke a few words about devotee care. So in this temple there are several representatives of devotee care that we are trying to form in this community. You can ask Mother Ragatmika, she's very involved with it. Also Mother Sukada, I myself am involved with devotee care. There was a workshop that was presented here a couple of weeks ago by Uttama Dasi and Parad Das from Vancouver. And that is basically they were talking about and giving an explanation of the Grihastha handbook. So how to live your life in the Grihastha system so that you move on into the Vanaprastha stage and minimize the conflict, minimize the issues that can arise by premarital counseling or even marital counseling as well once you are married. We are basically looking for, in the devotee care group, we are looking for senior devotees, people that have been married, specifically grihasthas that have been married for at least 10 years or more, that can help, counsel, or mentor other grihasthas in order to continue with their sadhana, with their spiritual life, and at the same time take care of their family. And also, if they have any issues, usually a lot of the issues in the grihastha life is financial issues. So how to avoid those kind of issues, how to save for retirement, how to get to the last stage of life and have a roof under your over your head, not that you are homeless and you don't have any money or a retirement plan or a pension plan or insurance, health plan. It's very important that you take care of certain things so you don't become a burden to anyone or whatever. Unless, again, if Krishna arranges for you to take sannyas, and then you'll be in a preaching situation where the situation will be different, but that will be Krishna's arrangement. In the meantime, Srila Prabhupada really wanted to create this Varnashram Dharma system where people follow their varna and their ashram, and they can develop their life and become Paramahamsas or Krishna conscious persons. Okay, so Thank you for your attention. If you have any questions, we can take them now. Thank you. Any questions? No? All right. Well, thank you very much for coming. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.